Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1090 in the Red Pew Bible. Before we begin, so I don't forget, Liam, would you like to do us the honors of putting the baby Jesus up in the nativity set? Do you know where it would go? Can you do that? Yeah, that's where he belongs, right up there between Mary and Joseph. There you go. Thank you. He didn't know he was going to do that, son. That's pretty good. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, again, I wish you a very merry and holy Christmas. I want to begin by repeating something I had said last Sunday, talking about expectations. Our kids were raised knowing that life is all about expectations. And I asked if when we came to church, if we had an expectation that we would hear something from God, or we would sense his presence. Maybe a word of healing, maybe a word of wisdom, maybe a word of encouragement. My hope this evening is that each of us has come here this evening with that expectation that somehow, someway, you will have a sense of the overwhelming presence of God and a word from him. I believe God has a message for us each today, Because I prayed about it and I asked him, I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell your sheep? And he said, tell them this. Jesus is very fond of you. Well, how do we get to that? Well, let me go back a little bit again over the last couple weeks. We've been using a Bible study method where we ask ourselves three questions concerning Christmas. What does Christmas tell us about God? What does Christmas tell us about us? And what does Christmas tell us about our relationship with God? For a couple weeks, we concentrated on that first question. What does Christmas tell us about God? So far, we heard that God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to accomplish two things: the judgment of God's enemies and the redemption of God's people. And then last week, we examined reasons for the virgin birth. And we affirmed that God has a plan for this world, a plan that began before the foundation of the world. A plan for the world and also a plan for us. And we concluded that God's plans could not be thwarted. His will be done. Well, today we want to look at what Christmas tells us about us. It tells us that Jesus is particularly fond of each and every one of us. But how do we know that? Last week we heard in John chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 32 that, quote, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Isn't that sad? The light came into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. In verse 32, we heard that Jesus came to witness to what he had seen and heard in heaven, yet no one receives his testimony. How hard, how sad. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we're told that Jesus, quote, came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The world was made through him, and he came into the world. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. How terribly, terribly sad. But we who are gathered here tonight, we have believed. We have seen, we have heard, we have received his testimony. How do I know that? Because we're here. Because we're here. Otherwise, we'd be off doing other things, wrapping presents. But you took time to come, despite this weather and everything else, because we believe. We believe with all our heart. We would not be here if God had not given us ears to hear. Remember how often Jesus said, let those who have ears hear the word of the Lord. We've been given ears to hear. And that's why we have received his testimony. We received his gospel message. We are here because Jesus has chosen us. We're told in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. How low that makes us feel. I thought I chose Jesus. He says, no, 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 you got it backwards. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you'd go and bear fruit, fruit that would abide. We are here tonight because God has given us the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. Paul wrote in Ephesians, quote, he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. Isn't that amazing? He predestined us for adoption as sons, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And Paul goes on to very emphatically say, and this is not your doing, it is a gift of God. And so there's no reason for us to boast, no reason to pat ourselves on the back, no reason to think that we're better than anybody else, because it is a gift of God, because we have been chosen. And so there is no reason to boast or think highly of ourselves. Now the next question it begs is, are there many of us who have been chosen by God? Are there many? Sadly and inexplicably, no. Jesus said in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. What a hard message that is. And yet it's supported by multiple scripture passages. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, Jesus said this, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Few. When someone asked Jesus if many would be saved, he said, many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. They will seek to enter and they will not be able. And this was not a new truth revealed by Jesus, by the way. In Romans chapter 9, verse 27, Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Isaiah, written 500 or 600 years before Jesus, Isaiah wrote this, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. Only a remnant. I have my own theory that along the lines of tithing, we tithe to the Lord, which is 10%, because we're told that the first 10% belongs to God. My sense is when they talk about, the scriptures talk about, Jesus talked about few, maybe it's 10%, maybe it's the tithe that belongs to God. It's the tithe that has been chosen, and we are that tithe. We are the chosen ones. And so this Christmas, what is our response to this free gift of eternal life? We who have been chosen by God. What is our response to the light that has come into the world? Well, as with all gifts, and especially this one, our response is one of humility and gratitude. Why were we chosen? Don't know. Not because we're any better than anybody else. Not because we deserved it. Not because we earned it. Because God chose us before the foundation of the world. What an amazing statement that is. Now I want to add here that it is not good for us, I believe, to agonize over the fate of so many who have not been chosen. It's a very normal thing for people to do and say, well, if only a few are saved. My goodness, look at all the people out there who are not saved. And it can really affect our hearts and just turn us into sadness and grief, especially loved ones we look at. And the fact is, we don't know why God has chosen us and not chosen others. Even Paul wrestled with this and finally came to the conclusion that it's like a potter, you know, with a piece of clay. Does the clay say to the potter, why did you make me thus? Why did you choose me and not choose others? And Paul says it is the sovereignty of God. But whatever it is good, it is just, and it is loving, because God is good and just and loving. And somehow, some way, it will be okay. And so rather than focusing on others, as so many people are apt to do, we think of ourselves and the privilege that we have been given for reasons we do not know and do not understand. Why were we one of the chosen ones? And so we are humbled, I believe, by the fact that we have been chosen. And we are thankful. Thankful that Jesus is so very fond of us. So that's what he wanted me to tell you. Jesus is very fond of you. My brothers and sisters, this night of all nights, this year of all years, keep in mind the kingdom of God is upon us. It is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so truly, truly the best is yet to come. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do not understand your ways. We do not understand your destinies, your election, your choosing. But Father, with all of our hearts, we are thankful that you have chosen us. Even while we were yet sinners, you chose us. You sent Jesus to die for us. And so tonight we celebrate, Lord, the beginning of that story of redemption, of Christ coming into the world, that we, the people of God, would be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So, Father, tonight we give thanks. We humble ourselves in gratitude for this free gift of eternal life and he who is the light of the world, Jesus our Lord. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.